Samuel, please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum is present. We will post the colors. Senator Mark Hass is going to lead us in the pledge, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As we approach Memorial Day, observe a moment of silence for all those who've fought in our wars. Alabama Gillette, McKenna Smith, honorary pages for Senator Larry George. Rihanna Lawrence, honorary page for Senator Jeff Cruz. Larissa Mueller, the honorary page for Senator Bill Morissette. Dakota Sandoval, honorary page for Senator Floyd Przonsky. Joe Shorin, honorary page for Senator Betsy Johnson. I'd like to welcome each and every one of those individuals, those honorary pages, to the Senate chambers today. We thank you for your willingness to come here and to help us with the duties and responsibilities of the Oregon State Senate. We rely on our honorary pages to help us get through the day, and we're always honored to have you here. We hope you have a pleasant experience in your state capital. Honor courtesies. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, my guest today is our legislative assistant, Kevin Anderson. Kevin's a graduate of Oregon State, will be starting law school at Willamette this year. I've done some law clerking. Kevin's one of the most efficient people that I've ever had work for us, and I'm really privileged to have him in the office. The only downfall, I ask him a question, I get a legal brief, and I got to read the damn thing. But anyway, please extend courtesies to our legislative assistant, Kevin Anderson.
Thank you. Senator Whitsitt, Kevin, pleased you could be here. Congratulations on the completions of your studies at Oregon State University. Good luck at law school at Willamette University. And thanks for being willing to help good Senator Doug Whitsitt. Look forward to that as we spend our final weeks here in the session. So thank you very much. Extend the courtesy, Senator, to you. Further courtesies, remonstrances, recognize. Here goes. Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, I've just got new numbers today that show over a quarter of a million Oregonians are out of work. If you look at the number of unemployed we have in the state of Oregon today, it mirrors the 1982 numbers of when we had the 1982 recession. If you look and compare the numbers to when Oregon first started keeping records of the unemployed, it is the highest number since 1947. 7 years ago, Oregon was the second highest unemployed state in America. Today, we are the second highest unemployed state in America. People, for the very first time, Mr. President, are finding themselves unemployed. People who were previously employed, who have paid into unemployment benefits, for the first time are taking advantage of those benefits. And it is the policy of the state of Oregon to tax people. We tax the unemployed. Mr. President, I believe that this policy is wrong. I think it is morally wrong. And I'm calling on the majority party in this legislature to stop the practice of taxing unemployment benefits. I have a bill to do that. I know there's other movements afoot to do that. And, Mr. President, I would ask us, in this time of the second highest unemployment in America, to stop taxing the unemployed.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Martha Schrader.
Thank you, Senate President Courtney. I just wanted to mention that on our docket today, we have four joint memorials dealing with veterans issues, three dealing with health care, and one is asking for a commemorative stamp honoring the Americans of Japanese descent that served in the 100th Infantry Battalion in World War II. We have a substantive policy bill which would allow our trained National Guardsmen to administer health care in a national emergency, and another bill that would shield our servicemen and women from legal liabilities. And in light of these bills today, I'd like to tell you about an event, an experience I had last Friday. On your desk, colleagues, you have a Clackamas Community Covenant, which is our pledge to military families. Together with leaders in my local community, we got together with Congresswoman Darlene Hooley, and we have written a pledge to help our military families. In particular, I'd like to point out the portion about Oregon legislative leaders. We committed to creating veteran-friendly legislation that recognizes the sacrifices and needs of service members and their families. We are committed to building support for service members and units with their districts, ensuring service members receive employment protection, and removing barriers to military families in accessing state and local services and resources. Colleagues, I would challenge all of you to take this covenant, go back to your local communities, your counties, and your cities, and move forward with this kind of an opportunity so we can be the welcome home state for our deployed servicemen and women when they come back in another year, year and a half. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, last week I brought up the issue that Representative Cameron and other members in the House are putting together a Support the Troops packing boxes. That event is tomorrow between 1 to 5 in the Galleria. What they're really short of is donations of $11.95 each to put postage on those packages to send them to our troops that have deployed. I and myself and Senator Carter and others have written a check, or their staff have made a donation along with Senator Verger and others. Again, we're looking for donations of $11.95 for postage tomorrow between 1 and 5 as we pack boxes to send to our soldiers that are deployed. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognized Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, on your desk there is a piece that talks about brain science, a toll of underage drinking. You know, we talk about marijuana and meth and other forms of drugs and abuse and so on, and I think that the absolute most dangerous drug that we have out there can be alcohol. Alcohol abuse, particularly by minors, can be devastating. It's detrimental to their health. The treatment is inadequate. We don't have enough of it. We do have an alcohol recovery fee that hopefully will pass that provides treatment for all alcohol drug abusers, but particularly for the minors. So if you would just take a look at this and think about it, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I would like to draw your attention to something that we need to follow up the pole pedal paddle with, and that's an appropriate recognition of the good senator from Bend, Senator Chris Telfer, for her leadership of that outstanding team and its performance. And so, Mr. President, colleagues, I'd like to present this formally to our good senator from Bend, and it says, Pole Pedal Paddle 2009, Capital Punishment Team, thanks to our fearless captain, Senator Chris Telfer, 2 hours and 44 minutes. Now, Mr. President, I don't know what the significance is necessarily of the holes in the paddle, except that we probably can perform better next time. So, colleagues, recognizing what Senator Telfer did, we would not have done that without her leadership. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Would the senator yield to a question?
Yes, Mr. President.
Did your paddle break?
Excuse me?
Did your paddle on Saturday during that leg break?
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay, thank you. Is there further remonstrances anywhere on the floor? There's no further remonstrances from the House, please.
Mr. President, this point has passed House Bill 2005, adopted H.R. 5, S.C.R. 7, H.D.M. 22, S.C.R. 8, S.C.R. 10, S.G.M. 11, passed the following Senate bills amended by the House, S.B. 159, current Senate amendments repassed House Bill 2630, Speaker assigned House Bill 2203.
Reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees, according to S.R. 8.551, committee report summary number 100 was distributed to members May 20th, and 101 was distributed to members May 19th. This information recorded in the Journal of State's report is so ordered. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions. Action executive points requiring Senate confirmation. First, the introduction of first reading Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 16, congratulating important troubles and success of 2008-2009 season.
Transmitted the President's referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 773, the Noble Expense Trust Funds.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. First reading of House measures.
House Joint Rule 22, requesting passage of Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act. House Bill 2005, limiting election petitions, declaring emergency.
Transmitted the President's referrals. Second reading of House measures.
House Joint Resolution 35, expressing support for findings of a report issued by Federal Forest Lands Advisory Committee. House Joint Resolution 40, recognizing Dr. Jane Lubchenco for contributions to marine biology and understanding of climate change and for service to Oregon. House Joint Resolution 43, recognizing the importance of Oregon small businesses to Oregon economy. House Bill 2011, relating to auditing higher education courses. House Bill 2108, relating to career schools. House Bill 2153, relating to supplemental funds related to use of state land. House Bill 2155, and removal of the training program. House Bill 2126, relating to mitigation of water resources. House Bill 2219, relating to landowner preference tags. House Bill 2262, relating to reinstatement of charges after plea. House Bill 2272, relating to medical support.
Pass to the calendar.
House Bill 2276, Women and Child Support Enforcement Services. House Bill 2277, Related Changes to Support Award and Physical Custody Changes. House Bill 2318, Over Traffic Offenses. House Bill 2394, Related Service Legal Documents. House Bill 2621, Related Ballots and Court of Mercy. House Bill 2738, Women Vehicles Taken into Custody of Public Bodies. House Bill 2755, Related Reinsurance. House Bill 3051, Related Driving Under the Influence of Toxins. House Bill 3090, Related Mileage. House Bill 3123, Limited Release of Substances by Passenger Vehicles. House Bill 3384, Public Assistance, Court Emergency. House Bill 3417, Related to Stray Animals.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of House Bills. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 45-minute caucus till 11:15.
Recognize Senator Ferriole.
Mr. President, Republicans have plenty to discuss, and we will use every minute of that time for our caucus. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. The Senate will go into recess until 11:15 a.m. Senate is now in recess.
Senate will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. The Senate recessed on the following order, following the order of second reading of Senate measures, and will resume on the order of third reading of Senate measures. Without objection, it is so ordered. Without objection, we will return to the order of remonstrances and recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, it's been brought to my attention, and I have verified via independent research on the World Wide Web, that an inaccurate statement was made a few days ago on this floor about a fine group of Oregonians. So I rise today to correct this injustice because, as you know, I'm all for justice. One of my fine colleagues from the greater metropolitan area indicated that her pole pedal team punished a competing team of our friends by 35 minutes. In fact, this did not occur. Rather, her co-ed team, which included long-legged, lanky, lean males, two of them to be precise, barely eked out an edge of 23 minutes and 5 seconds against an all-female, hard-working legislative advocates team who are vertically challenged, compactly fit, but of course also lean. So I'd like it recorded in this hallowed chamber that 23 minutes and 5 seconds is not 35 minutes. Thank you, Mr. President.
We return to the regular order of Senate business, and that is the third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Memorial 3, urging Congress to increase funding and eligibility for fee-based payments to veterans and review, simplify fee-based statutes and regulations regarding payment eligibility.
Recognize Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Joint Memorial 3 comes from your Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs, and it speaks to a problem that's growing in this country for our returning veterans. Many of you may have noticed that the returning veterans have come primarily or disproportionately. Many of you may have noticed that our returning veterans come disproportionately from small communities and often rural areas. This is a situation that makes it difficult for them to obtain appropriate medical care. The VA positions they have to go to are often long distances away. Many of them need specialty care and care that can be rendered at their local hospitals. The memorial asks that Congress begin funding programs that allow them to be treated for special care and funding for hospitalization for these people in situations where transportation is a real difficulty for them. That is the basis of this joint memorial, Mr. President. I would advocate that everyone vote for it.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Mr. Chairman, I rise upon the third reading and final passage of H.J.M. 3. Others, opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader.
She said
aye.
She's right there.
Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Devlin, Telfer, 20 ayes.
The House JM 3, having received constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Joint Memorial 8, urging Board of Governors of the United States Postal Service and Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee to create postage stamp commemorating 100th Infantry Battalion and 442nd Regimental Combat Team of the United States Army for service during World War II.
Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, HJM 8A urges the Board of Governors of the United States Postal Service and the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee to create a postage stamp commemorating the Americans of Japanese descent who served in the 100th Infantry Battalion, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, and the Military Intelligence Service during and after World War II. Colleagues, as you know, on December 7, 1941, the Japanese Navy conducted a military strike against the U.S. Naval base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Subsequently, the loyalty of Japanese Americans was questioned, and Federal Bureau investigation agents and police began arresting Japanese American community leaders in Hawaii and on the mainland. In the western parts of the United States, more than 120,000 persons of Japanese ancestry were forcibly relocated from their homes, businesses, and farms to concentration camps. Despite this treatment, the Nisei men and women fought on behalf of their families, their communities, and the nation that questioned their patriotism. During World War II, the 100th Infantry Battalion engaged in heavy combat at Monte Melito and Monte Cassino, ultimately defending the beachhead at Anzio, Italy. The 442nd Regimental Combat Team, which lived by its Go For Broke motto, comprised entirely of Nisei, departed for Europe, the European Theater, on May 1st, 1944, the two rescue of the Lost Battalion at Bifont, France, an operation in which the unit sustained more than 800 casualties, nearly half of its roster, during a five-day siege. The Nisei also served with distinction in the military intelligence service as translators of captured enemy documents, interrogators of enemy prisoners of war, and persuaders of enemy surrender. Most notably, the MSI linguist and administrative personnel helped in drafting the new Japanese constitution. The combined 100th Industry Battalion and the 442nd Regimental Combat Team became the most decorated in U.S. military history for its size and length of service, with more than 22,500 Japanese American soldiers and officers who served during World War II. Decorations are numerous. 21 Medals of Honor, 52 Distinguished Service Crosses, 559 Silver Stars with 28 Oak Leaf Clusters, Presidential Unit Citations, 1 Distinguished Service Medal, 22 Legion of Merit Medals, 15 Soldier Medals, 4,000 Bronze Stars, 120 Oak Leaf Clusters, 9,486 Purple Hearts, and numerous other awards by foreign governments. They have been unrecognized for many years, and the problem is that the government is saying, no, we don't give special stamps for special regiments, although they are giving a stamp to the Simpsons that will be out this spring. We do have a letter. What this initiative does is to urge Congress. We do have a letter from Senator Merkley and Senator Wyden urging Congress to or the post office to reconsider adding the Nisei stamp into the committee's agenda for immediate approval. We're losing some of the veterans of this the greatest generation on a daily basis, and soon they're going to be gone. By approving this commemorative stamp, you will be honoring those who lost their lives on the battlefield and those who are with us today. So this is a very, very important concern, and I can remember, I knew people who were interned. My wife's family had a very good friend who was a high school athlete in Helena, Montana, who was shipped off to an internment camp. Many people who live in Ontario, Oregon, where my daughter lives, are there. These are Japanese Americans who settled there during and after the war. And I think it's shameful that the Post Office Department has not been willing to recognize their special duty. So I urge an aye vote on this memoriam. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question now rises upon a third reading, the final passage of H.J.M. 8. Those in opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Devlin Walker, 20 ayes.
The HJM8, having received the constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Joint Memorial 12, urging Congress to act legislation increasing veterans' access to health care.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. The good senator from District 19 and I co-sponsor this bill in our chamber. HGM 12 comes from your Senate Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs. and my good wishes and thanks to the committee chair. It has no revenue and fiscal impact because it's an HJM. It urges Congress to enact legislation increasing veterans' access to health care by proportionally compensating veterans who travel from rural and remote areas to specialty care. In a request to the Veterans VHA, work with the national and regional leaders representing rural and remote areas to establish a formula to increase access and decrease transportation costs. Currently, many Oregon veterans who live in rural and remote areas have to either travel to Portland or Roseburg to get specialty care, which is expensive. And this is one of the top care recommendations of the governor's task force on veterans to get access for our rural members. Good bill. I urge unanimous passage.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question now arises, final 30 and final passage. HJM 12. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Devlin Walker, 20 ayes.
HJM 12, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Joint Memorial 21, urging Congress to change funding of veterans' health care from discretionary entitlement to permanent and direct entitlement.
Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. HJM 21 urges Congress to change the funding mechanism of the Veterans Affairs health care system from discretionary to permanent and direct entitlements in order to ensure all veterans' health care is covered. Again, this is a veterans' bill, and again, this is a kind of a inconvenience and injustice for people who have served. The background is the Veterans Health Administration, the nation's largest integrated health care system, is appropriated discretionary funds that are controlled through the congressional appropriations process. 50% of the Veterans Affairs funding is for veterans' benefits, which are mandatory entitlement spending. The remainder is discretionary and covers medical services, facility maintenance, and research. Since 1994, the VHA has received its appropriations from Congress on time only twice by the start of the new fiscal year. The results of continuing resolutions each year that funds the VA at previous year's level, which ultimately caps spending and lumps VA's budget into the omnibus spending bill. Proponents assert that these delays can result in adversely impacted medical care and increased costs by forcing unstaffed hospitals to turn to private agency nurses for fee-based care and delaying diagnostic tests for patients. Since 2001, the number of VA patients has risen by 2 million. Since 2001, the number of VA patients has risen by 2 million, a 50% increase due to the increased health care treatment of veterans of the Iraq wars and the Afghanistan wars. House Joint Memorial 21 urges the U.S. Congress to revisit and change the funding mechanisms by which the VHA is funded from discretionary to a permanent and direct entitlement. At the federal level, a Veterans Health Care Budget Reform Act of 2008 is designed to ensure that the veterans receive sufficient, timely, predictable funding. Under this plan, the VA health and health care funding would be converted to a mandatory spending program similar to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Proponents of this division assert that mandatory funding would eliminate the year-to-year uncertainty about resources for veterans seeking treatments. The Obama administration has supported this legislation or this change, and perhaps it will happen, but we again have a veterans issue that is equity, that is justice, and I think that we have to support this and urge the VA to do the mandated payments. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question on rise upon third reading and final passage. H.A.M. 21. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Devlin. Walker. 20 ayes.
H.J.M. 21. Having received a constant majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2163. William Miller, Justice.
Recognized Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. HB 2163B comes from Committee on Judiciary with a due pass that establishes that the appeals from the Armed Forces Court of Appeals of Oregon go directly to the Supreme Court, allows the Adjutant General to appoint judge advocate legal assistance for a period not to exceed 12 months, and provides for the service members of active duty not to be included in determining any statute of limitations, and allows service members 1 year to apply to a court or administrative body for relief from obligation incurred before entering active duty. In a nutshell, colleagues, the 41st Brigade is deployed now. They come back in June and July of next year. This bill is being put forth in anticipation of their return to cover some of the issues that will be needed to be addressed when they come back. Good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on rise upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2163. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter.
Senator Carter?
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Devlin Walker. 20 ayes.
House Bill 2163. Having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Montez Anderson, why you rise, please.
Mr. President, I would like to return to courtesies, please.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Mr. President, we have 40 fourth grade students up in the back gallery from Lake Grove Elementary that's located in Lake Oswego. Their teacher, or at least their leader, is Malaya Mills, and I would like you to extend courtesies to them.
Thank you, Lake Grove. We're glad you're in our gallery. Hope you're having a good day. Thanks for coming to the state capitol, your state capitol, and visiting with us, and coming on the Senate floor today, that is, in the Senate gallery, although maybe one day you will be on the Senate floor. And Malaya, we thank you, wherever you are. Where's Malaya? Thank you for bringing all these great students, fourth graders from Lake Grove. Go Lake Grove. I'd like to extend a courtesy to the Senate to each one. Can't do that. We're not allowed to do that, but anyway, thanks you there. We'll now go back to regular order of the Senate business. We're under the third reading of the House measure. Please read the bill.
House Bill 2165, we're in Oregon National Guard.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. House Bill 2165 allows members of the Oregon National Guard who are trained and certified by DOD to administer health care services in declared state emergency or public health emergency. Currently, they cannot do that. It's a misuse of a valuable resource. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question on rise upon third reading and final passage. House Bill 2165. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Przonski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson.
Senator Atkinson.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Devlin Walker, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2165, Emerson Council Majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill. Excuse me, Senator Bill Morissette, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would ask that we return to courtesies, please.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Mr. President, in the upper gallery, would you please rise? We have visitors from the Netherlands here today. They are the guests of Representative Maurer, who is doing research on medical marijuana. And what I would like to introduce him, Mr. Paul Thewissen, Health Affairs Officer, the Royal Netherlands Embassy, New York. Okay. We have Mr. Marco Vandervelde, Head of the Office of Medical Cannabis Ministry in of Health and Welfare. Okay. We have Chelong. That's not right. Johnning Elkins, co-owner of Bedorken BV in the Netherlands. We have Michael Soutman, USA representative, Bedorken BV. This morning, they offered expert testimony regarding medical cannabis in the Netherlands and the EU to the House Human Services Committee. They have been in room 167 for visits and discussions about the program. So please welcome them. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome our guests from the Netherlands. Hope you're having a good day in the state capital. Welcome to Oregon. It's a pleasure and honor to have you here. I don't know whether you've come here to learn from us about marijuana or we're supposed to learn from you about marijuana. But whatever, it's an interesting topic. So I'll just leave it at that. Glad you're going to hear. Hope you have a good day. Hope we all can be happy. And perhaps someday I'll get to the Netherlands. We'll now turn to the regular order of Senate business, and I'd like to ask the clerk to read the bill.
House Bill 2205, related to civil penalties imposed by Child Care Division.
Recognized Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, ORS 657 distinguishes two kinds of child care licenses, registration and certification. Current law gives the Oregon Employment Department's Child Care Division authority to assess fines for licensing violations in registered homes. There's currently no statutory provision to assess fines in certified facilities, which has resulted in a situation where more lightly regulated programs are subject to stricter penalties. It also means that the division has no means to compel compliance in certified facilities unless it takes legal action against the licensee. House Bill 2205A applies to a standardized penalty structure to both kinds of child care licenses. It also allows the Child Care Division of the Oregon Employment Department to impose a civil penalty of up to $500 on licensed and certified child care facilities that violate statutes governing these facilities. House Bill 2205 establishes minimum requirements for assessing penalties and a quarterly maximum for penalty amounts. Last but not least, revenues from the penalty are allocated to the Child Care Fund.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Question arises on the third reading and final passage. House Bill 2205. The opinion bill is passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Devlin, Walker, voting no, Atkinson, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett, 22 ayes.
House Bill 2205, receives Council majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2207, Maryland Central Background Registry.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. House Bill 2207 started out as a very simple name change bill. The Child Care Division does background checks on child care providers, and those who clear the background check are put into a registry. It has been called the Criminal History Registry, when it's really not about criminal histories, so it's now going to be called a Central Background Registry, which is truly what it is. There was an add-on on the House side where Metro came in and wanted to be able to do background checks for employees of the Portland Zoo. This is still a child safety issue. This will cost the state nothing. Metro will assume the cost. It's a good bill. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Further discussion. Question number 3 and 5 passed. House Bill 2207. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call.
Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Walker. Excuse. Devlin, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2207, have received constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2613, rule of provision of utility services tenants in court emergency.
Recognize Senator Diane Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. I bring you House Bill 2613, which comes from the Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. This is a simple bill and really about fairness. It simply prohibits a landlord from charging tenants more for utilities or services than the utilities or service providers are charging to the landlord. The case arose from a particular mobile home park in Medford, where the landlord was charged a commercial rate for electricity but was prohibited from charging that rate and was required to charge the residential rate. So it's really about fairness and equitable treatment. The bill has no revenue or fiscal impact. Passed our committee unanimously with one member excused, and I urge your support as well. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion. Question now rises upon third reading and final pass. The House Bill 2613. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Devlin, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2613, having received constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 3236, on immunizations.
Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3236A comes to you from the Committee on Human Services and Rural Health Policy. It allows pharmacists to administer vaccines and immunizations to persons who are at least 11 years of age, requiring the Department of Human Services to adopt rules requiring pharmacists to report information about the administration of vaccines and to the immunization record registry. The rule adoption becomes effective January 1st of 2011, and it authorizes DHS and the Board of Pharmacy to take any actions necessary to implement the measure before the operative date. Current law allows the pharmacist to administer influenza vaccine and immunizations to persons more than 15 years of age. Don't laugh. If the pharmacist has special accreditation and certification, and to persons 18 or older under the circumstances in ORS 689, Oregon ranks 39th among states for the number of residents who are immunized. Pharmacists presently administer 85% of the flu shots in Oregon, and rural areas are commonly underserved by medical personnel who can administer the vaccines. This is a great bill. There is a need for this. The pharmacists do the majority of this work. Rural Oregon particularly needs to be better served, and I just think it's a great bill, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Recognize Senator Lori Moniz Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. President, I was a no on this bill, not because I am against pharmacists from giving vaccines to children ages 11 or older, but primarily because it does not require the pharmacists to be members or to be a part of the vaccines for children. What this means is 38% of our adolescents are low income, without insurance, are American Indians, Alaskan Natives, or on Medicaid. I don't know why the pharmacists actually did not want to have this, except they say, well, we do not require our docs and medical providers to be members of the vaccines for children. But colleagues, 94% of our medical providers, that's doctors and clinics, are a part of the vaccines for children. The main reason I would say is the reimbursement. When you are reimbursed from a regular insurer, you're going to get your money in a very timely way. But unfortunately, with federal dollars coming in to pay for vaccines, the reimbursement is a little bit more complicated and takes a little bit more time. But I feel this is a discrimination issue where 38% of our kids between the ages of 11 and, that are over age 11 that will be eligible for these would be turned away because they can't afford the vaccine. So that is why I'm a no. I'll be watching this very closely during the interim, and if we don't have 94% of our pharmacies being a part of the vaccines for children, I'm coming back with a bill that's going to require them to be a part of vaccines for children unless they come forward with a waiver. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognized Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this really is a very simple bill. It's a few years ago that we allowed pharmacists to be able to give vaccines, and it has been an incredibly successful program. For example, 85% of flu shots are now given at pharmacists. Colleagues, all this bill does is lower the age from 15 to 11. It does nothing else. Colleagues, this is an access issue. This will expand access for Oregonians to be able to get immunizations. The good senator brings up a valuable point, but it's not the main point of the bill. So let's not confuse trying for the perfect with getting in the way of the good, because this is a good bill. All it does is lower the age. It's an access to health care bill. So I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Senator Morissette, do you wish to close?
Thank you. I've been taking a survey of how to say immunization around my table here, and I still can't get the correct pronunciation from my colleagues. Colleagues, this is a good bill, and the good senator from Gresham has a concern about requiring the Medicaid, making it a requirement. Other Medicaid providers are not required. They can opt out. I think we need to revisit this perhaps next time she, you know, indicates that she will keep a close eye on this. I would not want to do anything to disrupt this. This is the first step. It's a simple bill. And again, pharmacists are a critical piece in particularly rural Oregon in performing this very valuable service. So, again, I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question not right. Monthly reading final passage House Bill 3236. Those opinion bills passed. Out of the post, no clerk, please call the roll.
Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. President Courtney.
Yeah.
Excuse. Devlin. Voting no. Montez Anderson. Schrader. 27 ayes.
The House Bill 3226, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate, effective May 19th, I made the following appointment to the Governor's Task Force on Disproportionality in Child Welfare, Senator Martha Schrader. Announcements. Senator Lori Montes Anderson, announcement, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats, get your lunch and get back into the caucus room at 12:15.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Yes, Mr. President, under the order of business of renouncement.
Under the order of business announcements, please.
Of renouncement, Mr. President. Senate Republicans are under budget on time without the need for new taxes, so we will not be having a caucus this afternoon, Mr. President. Thank you. That was my renouncement, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Hi. Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade will meet at 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock at Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade. Thank you very much.
Further announcements. If there are no further announcements, then without objection, this Senate is adjourned until 10:15 tomorrow, Thursday, May 21st. The Senate is now adjourned.